Good morning, KICY listeners. Welcome to CareForce. This is Pastor John Cardwell calling from Scammon Bay Covenant Church in Scammon Bay, Alaska, and it is my privilege and pleasure to join you in this morning's broadcast, August 20th, for another edition of CareForce. We started last week in looking at our prayer lives, since CareForce is a program where you call in, where we here in Alaska will call in our prayer requests, and that we can pray together on the radio. I thought it would be a nice thing to have a series of devotions devoted to prayer. And last week we kicked it off with looking at some lessons that we'd actually gone through ourselves. We're just finishing up. In fact, next week, next Sunday, we will finish up in Scammon Bay. We will finish up our entire series in looking at Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 15. And if you have your Bibles, you may want to open there to Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 15. Oh, by the way, if you're just tuning in, and you do have prayer requests, thanksgivings, praises to the Lord that you'd like us to pray together, the staff at KICY often, in fact, I think every time that someone calls in for a prayer request, they pray right over the phone when they, as they have the time that they can pray with, pray over the phone with you. If you have called in, many requests are emailed in. And if that's so, you could email that to office at kicy.org. If you're calling in from the villages and want a prayer request prayed for over the air, call in at 1-800-478-5429. That's 1-800-478-KICY. And if you're calling in from Nome, you can dial locally at 443-2213. That's 443-2213. So if you have turned to Matthew chapter 6, as we read last week, starting off in a look at some our devotional time in prayer, our personal time in prayer, and what is commonly called the Lord's Prayer, what I call the disciples' prayer, as we'll see when we look at Luke chapter 11, that this is how the Lord taught his disciples to pray. If we want to see the Lord's Prayer, we need to take a look at John chapter 17, and possibly through our prayer series, we will do so and see that magnificent high priestly prayer of Jesus as he prays to the Heavenly Father on our behalf. But let us read verses 5 through 15. And in fact, when we get to that portion of the prayer, of the Lord's Prayer in verses 9 through 13, if you'd like to just recite it along with me while you're listening on the radio, that would be quite all right. Let's begin with verse 1. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. After this manner, therefore pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Well, may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. And before we continue any further, let's come before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Holy Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who bled and died on Calvary's tree, whose blood was spilt down Mount Zion in Jerusalem, in his name we come before you, Lord. And by his cross, as we have access, we lay ourselves before you that you may speak to us through your word. That, Lord, you will be glorified through your word. That, Father, I ask you that you would speak through this speck of dust, through this ball of mud called John Cardwell on this planet. I pray, Father, that you speak through me. Even through me, Lord, and I pray, Father, that you'll minister even unto me. Though I've taught this many things of this message before, Lord, I pray, Father, that I'll learn, even as you're bringing it to all of us this day. Minister unto hearts, Lord, open up hearts. Bring us to brokenness and contrition and humility before the throne of grace. But confidently, Lord, in Christ Jesus. And Father, I pray for those that do not know you, but that your Spirit will convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment, that they may be won to the kingdom by the power of your Holy Spirit through the preaching of the Word in Jesus' holy name. And for his sake, amen. And amen. Wow. Well, you know, prayer is not just something that we do. Prayer is I use this expression, it's the very fabric from which the Christian is cut. We are, in other words, the prayer is the lifeblood of the saint, that there's no one that is alive without blood running through their veins and through their arteries. And without prayer, we're dead. The prayer is this thing, if you think about it, consider this, that your very salvation, and your salvation, my salvation, comes from God the Father responding to the prayer of his Son from the cross. When Jesus prayed, in Luke 23, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus prayed for you and I. He pleaded to the Father on your behalf, on my behalf, that we might be saved. God answered that prayer. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. For once we walked in darkness, but he has brought us out of darkness and transformed us and brought us into his marvelous light. When the Apostle Paul wrote, pray without ceasing, we wonder about that. Pray without ceasing. There's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, the Apostle Paul wrote, pray without ceasing. Now, what was he talking about? Was he talking about that I should just, that's the only thing that I should be doing? Well, in one sense, yes. In another sense, no. He's talking about a lifestyle of continuous prayer, of overflowing prayer. That small prayers and thanksgiving. So thanksgiving, when we thank God, that's a prayer. When we see the majesty of God that surrounds us, Brother Dennis and I were just, I asked him, how's the weather in Nome? And he says, it's just beautiful. And today in Scammon Bay, as I look out my window, just beautiful. And I thank him for just letting me see. You know, whether it was raining or whether it was sunny, that matters not. But just to see the hand of God. Thank you for the rain, God. God, thank you so much for the rain because it brings the berries into fruition and into bloom that brings them into maturity that we may pick them. Thank you, Lord, for the well, just the beautiful sunset that we had last night. That's a prayer. That prayer pours forth from us always. It spills forth from us because it springs forth within us. Unceasing prayer is an unconscious, is as unconscious as our breathing, or as our the breath that fills our lungs, or the beat of our heart. We need to consider that the victory, that our victory, beloved, is in Jesus Christ and in what He has done at Calvary. And have you ever been, I want to ask this question, have you ever been put on the spot to make a decision? And then after you've made it, you've wondered in the next few days whether it was the right one or whether it honored God. Or how about in speaking forth the word or in keeping silent? Should I say this thing to this brother or sister? Or should I, well, just pray about it and see what happens? As we develop a lifestyle of prayer, because what we talked about last time is this thing called the prayer closet in verse 6, and I'm going to read it again, verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. See, when we start developing this discipline of prayer, that through our maturity as Christian believers, we begin praying in these private times to come before the Lord. These kind of prayers, to be able to walk around in this amazing, in this awe of what God has done, in this amazing, marvelous condition to say, God, I see you everywhere. It doesn't just come overnight. I mean, certainly for a new believer, there is a kind of honeymoon where you're just in awe of this new relationship that you have in Christ Jesus. But as we grow more familiar with things of God, it becomes commonplace for everyone. I look at the beauty of how green it is during the summer in Scammon Bay in Western Alaska, and the berries are ripe and all that. But after years and years and years and years of seeing such things, it becomes very common that you don't even notice it anymore. It just becomes one day rolls into the next. So what happens is that we need to be have this kind of prayer, beg the Father for this kind of prayer when we do come in to pray, that we don't lose those kind of things. That we see the majesty of God. See, our flesh is so corrupt that it causes those things to be commonplace. To be as if, oh, I've seen that before. You know, been there, done that, bought the t-shirt. It's just a thing to me. It's not a spectacular thing. It's just a thing because I've seen it all the time. But every moment is a gift of God. And it is not until we develop this lifestyle of prayer that God has given us to be at the foot of the cross, to be able to enter by God's grace to the throne of grace confidently, but yet humbly, meekly, in brokenness and in contrition. This kind of walk is developed through dedicated, diligent, and determined times of communion with God in the closet of prayer. In these times that we have, where it says that we have entered into the closet, this special place that we have set aside, not necessarily a literal closet that we looked at last week. Jesus went into the mountain to pray, or was in the wilderness to pray, a time set apart that was a determined time, a determined commitment to be alone with the Heavenly Father, to have fellowship with Him, to commune with Him. And this is setting a time and a place to meet with God. That's what we do when we're entering into our closet. And what does it mean to shut the door then? Because you and I can go out into the tundra and have just the entire creation of God set before us. And what a wonderful time to be able to pray in that kind of setting, just as our Lord prayed as he walked the shores of Galilee and up into the hills surrounding that portion of northern Israel. Shutting the door to us would mean that in the closet of prayer, in that special time that we set aside, out in the tundra, in your office, in your own bedroom, you close the door. It is a place that you've made every effort to remove the distractions that would keep you from giving God your undivided attention. Because God is omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent. What does that mean? He's omniscient. He knows all things. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at once. And he's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. God doesn't need you to shut the door so that he can have your undivided attention. We need to go in so that we have his undivided attention. See, all prayer is centered in the truth that Jesus spoke to his disciples on the night he was betrayed. In John chapter 14 and verse 6, it says that Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And in that, those three things that he said that he was there, I mean, there's many other things that we can apply to that from Scripture. Using Scripture to interpret Scripture, many things that we can apply to that. But what does it mean concerning prayer? There is a value in it, in understanding what that verse means according to Scripture, and how it applies to our prayer lives. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Because it says, cometh unto the Father. Well, how do we come unto the Father? Well, it's by Jesus Christ. Well, what's the purpose for coming unto the Father? It is to know God's will for our lives. And what vehicle does he use? What vehicle does he give us to come before to the Father? It is prayer. See, the way, Jesus says, I am the way. What is he talking about? That's the cross of Jesus Christ. The cross of Christ is the way. True prayer is cross-accessed. We have access because of the cross of Jesus Christ. If you're not saved and you're listening to this program, I'm going to tell you, God's not listening to your prayers. Or, well, he's listening. He hears them, but he's not listening to them as far as to answer them, to say, well, okay, well, I'll intercede on your behalf. Unless it is he answers those prayers, he's actually answering the prayers of a believer. And if your prayers are answered, it is what's called the providence of God. God didn't intervene on your behalf. He intervened on the behalf of his children. Because if you believe not in the cross of Jesus Christ, you have no access to the throne. It's like asking a request of the king. If you can't get in to the palace, the king won't hear you. He might even know the news of what you have said. As in our God's case, he knows every utterance and every hair on every head of everyone he's created, good and bad. He makes the sun to shine upon the evil and the good, the Bible says. It's like trying to make a request of the President of the United States. If I go up to the White House and say, "Let me in. George Bush is my friend. I want to see George W." I say, "Get out of here." Get out of here. He's too busy. This is the President of the United States. Who are you? But if I go up to the White House, I go up to the White House gates and I say, I want to see the President. And they look at me and George Bush comes out on the lawn. He goes, "Is that John Cardwell over there?" It's important that he knows me. It's more important that the President knows me than I know him. That's the same thing with God, that he knows me. And how does he know me? If I am saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hey, he's washed in the blood. Father, Jesus says, Father, this one's mine. Jesus Christ said that he was the way to God, the only way. He was the only way. And he was speaking of his substitutionary death upon the cross. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 says this, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened or made alive by the Spirit. That portion, it says, that he might bring us to God. How? By his death. His death in the flesh. He died physically on the cross. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 18, it says, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Well, what does that mean, we both? And Paul was writing, the Apostle Paul was writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, saying that it's no longer just Jews through the temple sacrifices that anyone has access to God. Jesus Christ made the sacrifice once and for all. And that through him, Jesus Christ, by his death upon the cross, we both, that's Jews and non-Jews, have access by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, unto the Father. And as I mentioned last week, trying to enter the presence of God through different types of methods and steps and gimmicks, extra things like lighting candles, burning incense, making the sign of the cross as if your prayers are going to be heard by doing any of those things, that brings dishonor to the cross of Christ. It brings dishonor and shame to the cross of Christ because it suggests that the death of Jesus Christ wasn't good enough, wasn't sufficient enough to get you to God, and we need to repent of those things if we're doing them. Is lighting a candle a bad thing? No, we're still using honey buckets here. Lighting a candle is kind of a nice thing. If I had incense, I'd probably burn that too. But I don't do that for a prayer time. I have immediate access by the cross of Jesus Christ, and therein do I glorify God. I rejoice God. I don't have to, as a Jew, as a saved Jew, I don't have to go to Jerusalem and call out to you. I don't have to make an animal sacrifice. Lord God, Jesus Christ is my sacrifice, and I am so blessed. I don't have to wear a prayer shawl. I don't have to do any kind of... All I have to do is just say, thank you, Father. All I have to do is say, oh, Father, do you hear me on this, please, in the name of Jesus? Will you hear me on this? I just want to lay this out to you, and whatever you want, Lord, with it, your will be done, not mine. But I can say whatever it is. I can say that to God because of the cross of Jesus Christ. Oh, what joy! Oh, consider the cross, beloved. Consider the cross. Don't just treat it as a thing. And not that thing that you hang around your neck or those two pieces of wood that are up in the front of your church building. I'm talking about the tree of Calvary that was prophesied that Jesus would hang upon 2,000 years ago that he hung upon and his blood was shed. Oh, you and I as Christian believers, we have access to God through the cross of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ also said that he was the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. What does that mean? Well, we have access by the cross of Christ, but we also have in prayer the word of Christ. He is the truth. True prayer is Bible-founded. True prayer is Bible-founded. Jesus said that he was the truth, the only truth, and he was saying that he was the living word, and the entire Bible is centered in him. John chapter 5 and verse 39. I quote this quite often. Jesus said to the scribes and the Pharisees that were trying to refute him, trying to argue with him about his authority. And Jesus said, search the scriptures, for in them ye think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Jesus said, the entire Bible is about him. And it is. In that high priestly prayer of Jesus, the real Lord's Prayer, in John chapter 17, and in the middle of that prayer, Jesus prays. In verse 17, he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. He said that we are made holy, his disciples and all those that would believe on their teaching of Christ afterwards. In other words, those scriptures that are written in the Holy Bible about Jesus. He said that we would be made holy. Sanctify means to be set apart and made holy. Set apart from the world and set apart for God. that we would be made holy by the truth. And he specifies what the truth is. His word is truth. God's word is truth. Prayer without the word and apart from the word is futile. In other words, it's vain. It's empty. There's nothing there. It's there's no power in it. It's just a bunch of our words. The Bible without prayer, the Bible without prayer and apart from prayer is fruitless. Just reading the Bible without prayer, without fellowship with God, the two go together. The two are inseparable. It's like a marriage, what the Bible talks about marriage, that the two shall become one, one flesh. As far as a husband and a wife coming together in that union before God. Prayer and the Word are the same kind of union. They are inseparable and cannot be divorced. So I am the way and the truth, Jesus says. It is prayer is cross-accessed and it is Bible-founded. And Jesus says, I am the life. I am the way and the truth and the life. The life is the person of Christ. So we have the cross of Christ, we have the word of Christ, and we have the person of Christ. True prayer is Christ exalted. Philippians chapter 2, verses 8 through 11 say this about Jesus, that he, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Prayer that does not exalt Christ is prayer that exalts something other than God. For example, it exalts self. It exalts me. Or it exalts the world and the things of the world. Or it exalts, ultimately, basically, it exalts Satan. Because the Bible says that until Satan is thrown into the lake of fire, or in fact, until Satan is bound for 1,000 years, he's the god of this world. The Bible says that declares that Satan is the god of this world, the father of lies. He's the god of this world. But when Jesus sets up his kingdom and reigns upon that throne, then Satan will be bound 1,000 years. But until then, the world is his. He's the god of this world. So anything exalting self or the world or the things of the world really ultimately exalts Satan. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 30, Jesus says these very hard words. He says, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Jesus Christ is the life. The person of Jesus Christ must be seen in our prayers. It must not be us. How is Christ exalted in my prayers? This is why even Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, Father, not my will, but thine. Likewise, we should say, Father, not my will, but thine. Not what I want, but how does this exalt Christ? Answer my prayer so that it exalts Christ. Answer my prayer so that it is according to your will. And if my prayer is not according to your will, which is revealed in your word, oh Lord, let it not be answered as a yes. May it be no, and send your no speedily. Prayer that is accessed by the cross is and according to Scripture. It's accessed by the cross, according to Scripture. Always exalting Christ is what I call the tri-centered prayer. These three things exist, and if these things are the things that should be most prominent, if maybe the only things prominent in your prayer life. But when you miss one of these three things, all these three things go together in your prayer time. And if one of these three things is missing, your prayers are weak, ineffective, ineffectual. There's no power in it. No prevailing. It's not a prevailing power. It's weak. It's lifeless. It does not build you up and bring you into maturity. It doesn't enhance your relationship with God. Violating any one of these things hinders our prayers. And there are many other things that will. In fact, there are many other things that will hinder our prayers. James chapter 4 speaks of selfish lusts, desires, our own fulfilling our prayers upon our own desires. 1 Peter chapter 3 speaks of if a husband dishonors, is not cherishing his wife as Christ cherishes the church and loves her, and he's not protecting her as a weaker vessel, guess what, brothers? If you have a wife that you're treating, dishonorably, your prayers are being hindered. God's not answering those prayers in an affirmative or even a negative until you get yourself right with God according to His Word. And if you are in a relationship with a woman and you're not married to her, God's not hearing your prayers because you've dishonored that woman. And if you're, you know, call yourself a Christian, and you may, and maybe you are, you're just living, you've backslidden. And I'm going to call it for what it is. I'm not going to let you get away with saying, well, hey, I'm a Christian, but I'm living in sin. If you're living in a habitual state of sin, then more than likely you're not a Christian. You need to examine yourself and you need to repent on your knees before the living God and get right with Him. Bring yourself apart from that relationship until you get married. And honor that. Honor that woman, because the only prayer that God's going to hear is you calling out unto God unto repentance for salvation while you're living in that relationship. I get in a lot of trouble for saying that, but that's the truth of God's Word. And I fear God more than I fear man, and I'm going to say what God's Word says. And if you're in that relationship right now and you're listening right now, I know you want to walk out on me. But if God is calling on your heart, you need to face the facts and you need to stand up as a man of God and not be a boy playing around with boy things and filling your selfish lusts. You need to repent. Prayer that is powerful and effective, the prayer that accomplishes much, is the prayer that contains all three of these. As it is written, it says in James chapter 5, verse 16, confess your faults one to another. And pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It says that also in 1 John chapter 1, it says confessing that we should be confessing our faults for healing. Confess your faults one to another. That's merciful cross-centered prayer. That if we forgive, as Jesus prayed in Luke 23, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's praying for one another for healing. That's intercessory prayer right there. And then since we pray not in our own righteousness, but in the power of Christ's righteousness, that would be the Scripture-centered prayer of the prophet, as it says in James chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. It says that he gives us the example of the prophet Elijah. See, that doesn't necessarily mean that we shouldn't pray for things that we want. We should pray for things that we want, as God has placed those desires upon our hearts. But praying for things that are against God's Word, those are not things. Those against God's will. To pray for sinful things, things that we know that are not according to God's will and God's Word and God's way. Those things are ashamed unto God, and we need to repent from them. Brand new Christians must begin with praying for things. You know, just as babies do ask for things and not how they can please the parents. See, you know, we got to understand that a baby, a brand new born again Christian, pleases the Heavenly Father just by being saved. You know, because as babies please parents just by being babies. You know, I haven't seen my first grandbaby. My first grandbaby's down in California. But when I see my first grandbaby, she doesn't have to do all these kind of things in order for her to be pleasing to me. How can I serve my grandpa? That's silly. You know, four-month-old baby, I'm going to make demands on a four-month-old baby to try to do things to please me? Oh, that's silly. The baby is pleasing to the parents and grandparents just by and relatives just by being a baby. But as we mature, if I got a 16-year-old crawling around and drinking from a bottle, I'm going to be somewhat discouraged. As we mature, we need to pray in maturity. We need to be in this prayer closet and seek after God. See, I often pray for something, and sometimes it's answered positively. I get a yes, and I get what I prayed for. Sometimes it's answered negatively. I get a no. And God, and I believe that if I get that, I say, God, you have something better in mind for me. See, it's written in Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but that the Spirit itself, or the Spirit Himself rather, makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Groanings which cannot be uttered. We'll talk more about prayer as we go along and through our studies. I'll be on in two more weeks, on September 3rd. And I hope that you tune in. Let us come before the Lord again in prayer as we close off. And close out. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of devotion and even preaching, Lord. Lord, there are so many broken relationships out there, and I pray, Father, that as we understand what prayer is, and in understanding what prayer is, we understand who you are and what you have done. And the more that we come before you in the times of prayer and in the closets of prayer, we pray, Lord, that we will grow in maturity and grow nearer to you and be able to be empowered by your Spirit to obey your will. We pray, Father, that these words go forth and that they go forth in love, that you should be glorified for you are worthy to be glorified, that these things that are against your will and these abominations of sin would be cleansed and rooted from our lives, Lord, that we may bring you glory and honor and exalt the name of Jesus Christ in our lives. Lord, we thank you for your word. I pray, Father, that we may be in prayer. Even as the church was conceived in prayer, may we find you in your coming. May we be praying and the return of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for this time in your word, and pray, Father, that you'll use your word, continue to use your word mightily to reach those who are lost, that you may be glorified in their lives, that we would turn from our idolatry and be completely given to you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. I don't have a lot of prayer requests today, many people I know are at fish camp with Silver's Running and Berry Camp and out and about. People are in Bethel, people are in Anchorage during the summer, and so there aren't a lot of prayer requests that have been called in. But if you do have a prayer request or Thanksgiving, a praise, and you want to call in the KICY, I urge you to call from the Villages to 1-800-478-5429. That's 1-800-478-KICY. And from Nome, you can dial locally at 443-2213. In Nome, you can dial in at 443-2213. And I'll just read over the prayer requests that we do have today. And then we'll go before the Lord in prayer together. The first prayer request is to pray for a young man who has had several surgeries. Pray for his complete healing emotionally, physically, and spiritually. The next prayer request is to pray for a family in trouble. They are divided by strife, discord, turmoil, and division in the home. The husband needs Jesus in his life, and the children need to learn to obey. The next prayer request is to pray for a woman that she will be able to accept the love of God for herself. And the next prayer request is to praise God that a woman's daughter passed her last test in college. Thanks to everyone who has prayed for her. There's a thanksgiving right there and a praise. The next prayer request is to pray for a listener who asks for prayer for her stomach problems. Pray also for her mother who has cancer. The next prayer request is a listener asks for prayer that God would give her wisdom concerning whether or not she should marry a certain person. She wants God's will in this matter. The next prayer request is that a listener from a lower Yukon village asks for prayer for her husband, who has been in jail since the end of February, falsely accused. Pray for him and his case, that the truth will come out. And finally, we have just one last prayer request. Is a listener asks for prayer for her friend who is extremely self-important, that he will get off his pedestal and become more open-minded. Well, those are our prayer requests for Monday, August 20th, and our praises as well. And again, if you have prayer requests, thanksgivings, praises that you would like us to pray together on the air, you can call in from the villages at 1-800-478-5429, 1-800-478-KICY, and from Nome you can dial locally at 443-2213. Again, that's 443-2213. Let us go before the throne of grace and receive God's mercy by the cross, the only altar that exists for the last 2,000 years, that is the cross of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, Lord God Almighty, you are holy. You are a holy God. You're holy in your righteousness. You're holy in your justice. You're holy in your goodness. You're holy in your grace. You're holy in your mercy. You're completely distinct and separate. You're holy in your infinitude. You are infinitely good, Lord. And we are humbled that you would look down upon us, as the scriptures say. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou takest thought of him? And again, the scripture says that you see our frame, that it is but dust. We are balls of mud, Lord, and we come to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We come to you by the altar of the cross, that tree of Calvary in which he died, by the blood that he shed on Mount Zion. We come before you, Lord, in his name, and by his righteousness, through his forgiveness, Lord, by your grace. We thank you, Father, for this time that we can pray together here in Western Alaska. We thank you, Lord, for KICY. We thank you for Brother Dennis and the entire staff of missionaries and volunteers that man the phones and take the prayer requests and run the radio program, that we might rejoice and praise and worship throughout Western Alaska. We thank you, Lord, for the Care Force program and all the pastors, and pray, Father, that our pastors be praying pastors, that we would be pastors upon our knees, that our preachers and evangelists and missionaries and pastors would be ministers of God before a holy heavenly Father, upon our knees, receiving nourishment for the Word of God from our times of personal, private prayer, our times of intimacy with our holy heavenly Father. We ask you, Lord, that you'll minister unto these ministers of God in Western Alaska to bring forth the spirit of with power through prayer. That, Father, that the battle is in prayer, and that, Father, that you strengthen your ministers to not fail according to the flesh, but be earnestly, fervently praying for lost souls, Lord, that you would be glorified, because those that are lost are idolaters, worshiping things other than you, worshiping our own idea of you even, or worshiping whatever. And because you are worthy to be worshipped, I pray, Lord, that the lost are saved. I pray, Lord, that they would know the joy of eternal life in Christ Jesus. But more than that, I pray, Lord, that they would be saved, that you may receive honor and tribute from every living creature here and now. Every living creature in Alaska would give you honor and praise, because not just the ministers are praying, Lord, or, you know, those are quote-unquote ministry, Father, but all of your people, Lord, that we are upon our knees, we are fallen on our faces before you, Lord, to pray that those that would be saved will be saved. And that you'll reach down and even touch lives, continue to touch lives even now, Lord, through this radio program, not from my preaching or teaching, but by the Word of God that's gone forth and continues to go forth. And that as we can have been praying and continue to pray, that the power of your Spirit is going forth like a mighty rushing wind, falling down, waiting in like the Pentecostal hour, just waiting upon you and praising you, Lord, and ministering unto you, Lord, in praises for your holiness. We pray, Lord, that we are people in Western Alaska upon our knees in the closet of prayer, that you would be glorified. Be exalted, Lord, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Father, we have several prayer requests, and they've come before the throne of grace as we read them out. We don't even have to reiterate them or speak them, and you know all our prayers even before they even came unto our minds or hearts. And we ask you, Lord, that your will would be done. Not my will, but thine. We pray, Lord, that you will intercede and you'll bring answers to these petitions. You'll bring answers to these requests. We pray, Lord, that we would know that in our time of prayer, that there is an answer to these, whether yes or no, or wait. And if there is a thing to be questioned, or a thing that needs to be reconciled, Lord, even as it says in Matthew, that it says if we come, we bring our sacrifice to the altar, we bring praise to the altar, we come before the cross of Jesus Christ in prayer, and our brother has aught against us. If we have sinned, Lord, against you by sinning to another, bring that to remembrance, Father, that our prayers may be answered. Father, reconcile our lives. Turn us from sin, that we may glorify you and rejoice and be strengthened in our faith, because we see the answer to our prayers. Father, we have needs, but you are not an evil Father. You are a holy Father and a righteous Father. There is nothing good apart from you. You are good, Lord, and you give good things unto your children. How much more will our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? We, Father, we ask that you expand our hearts, that we may be filled more and more with your Holy Spirit. Fill us more, even, Lord. Not to the capacity of my faith, but to the capacity of thy faithfulness, Lord. Fill us to overflowing. Show us your glory, Lord, as you've shown Moses, even if it means I die. I want your glory, Lord. May that be the prayer upon our lips this day. We want your glory, Lord. We want to know you, Lord. We want your glory, and we want you glorified. Be glorified in our lives, Lord God. Lord, we pray, Father, for repentance to come to every village in Western Alaska, to every congregation and every church. In areas that we have been weak, Lord, bring us strength in leadership. Bring us strength in the members of the congregation to identify those things that are not pleasing to you, that we may say that we want to stand as a true church, a living church, a church of God. And not a business or an organization or a building full of programs. We want to be worshipers of you, Lord. Praisers of the living God. Make us those kind of people, Lord. People that are pleasing to you. That we may cry out, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. That you receive glory in all that we do, and you receive glory in all that we don't do, Lord. Let us not be discouraged in these times when we fail, Lord, for we know that the flesh is frail. But I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. But I glory not in the flesh, Lord, as it says in your word that no flesh shall glory in your presence. We glory not in the flesh, Lord, but glory only in the living God. In the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, that therein is glory, therein is praise. Oh, let this be our prayer, Lord, that we may praise and exalt you, minister before you. May our praises rise up before you in our prayers, that when we have given ourselves over to minister to God, as it says in Acts 13, they didn't come together as a missions team. To say, what are we going to do with missions? They came together, prophets and teachers, to minister to you. I have no idea what that means, Lord, except that maybe it was just to praise you for who you are. How do you serve you? How do we serve you? Is it by our works? You don't need any of us. You do not have a need. You're sufficient for all and sufficient within yourself. So I suggest that maybe it's just to praise you, Lord. And I pray that this time of prayer, and I'm going to use every second I possibly can until we close. I have maybe another 60 seconds left, Lord. And I want us in Alaska to just praise you in our prayer time. You know, we have these requests. So be it. But more importantly, Lord, be praised. Let our prayer this morning be of praise to you. Let our prayer be to exalt you and to glorify you. And even in interceding for the lost, Lord, let them be saved, that is one more person that will exalt you and praise you. And may they be raised up, Lord, with a call of ministry to minister to you, to minister to God, to serve you by praising you. Let that be our ministry, Lord. If you called me from this pulpit, right now, Lord, from the pulpit of Scammon Bay, just to say, John, I want you to praise me. That's your ministry. That's your calling. Oh, Lord, what a blessed gift that would be. May that be our prayer, Lord. May we just be called to praise you. I can't wait to be there, beholding your face and your face only, Lord Jesus, for all of eternity. May it be so now. Even in this earthly vessel, may it be of praise unto you. May that be my ministry. I know that I've been given the ministry of the word and the ministry of souls. But Lord, if I can just have a few moments a week to just praise you in the times of prayer and nothing else. To begin every day just to praise you. May I have a ministry of prayer. May that be the prayer of every minister in Alaska. And I think that we will see revival like never before on the coastlands. And then it'll spread throughout Alaska and maybe the uttermost parts of the world. May that be our prayer, Lord. We minister before you. We praise you, Lord, for your good. And we rejoice and rejoice just in the knowledge and the comfort of that. And may that peace be upon us now. May that be our prayer this morning, this August 20th, Lord. May that be our prayer in the name, the exalted name of our Lord and Savior Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, for his righteousness' sake and his holiness' sake. Amen and amen.